The right to life is America's most basic right, as spelled out in the Declaration of Independence, our nation's birth certificate, and yet abortion, of course, undermines that right. Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. His website is endabortion.us. Father Pavone has been a tireless champion for the right to life in America. Father Pavone, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, hi, Jerry. Thanks for having me, and great to be with you and with our audience.
Sure. Okay, so first of all, let me ask you this. In terms of the founding fathers of America, do you think when they fashioned the Declaration of Independence and, of course, the Constitution, that they ever intended that we would have this right to abortion, this right to so-called terminate your pregnancy, and that we would see more than 60 million abortions committed in the name, supposedly, of the Constitution?
Well, it would have been unthinkable to the founders. I mean, as you already referenced, they spoke explicitly about life as the first right. I mean, the phrase right to life is right there in the Declaration. And we even have indications from some of their other writings that, you know, they were against this idea of abortion. We inherited from the common law there in Britain the idea that, you know, by natural law, we take care of our children. We don't kill them. In fact, it would have been the founders' position. Government is not authorized to do certain things. Government is never authorized to trample on the God-given rights of the people. And this is exactly what abortion does. You know, Jerry, I always put this way, that when our government legalized abortion, it actually changed the type of government that we have, because under the government given to us by our founders, there are certain things beyond not only the power of government, but beyond the decisions of even a majority of the people. Not that a majority of Americans ever agreed with the abortion policy we have now, but even if they did, it would not make it right. It would not make it acceptable. So that's why, as you said, this is fundamental. This is the fundamental issue America is facing.
Do you think future generations will look back at us with our 3D sonograms and the technology we have and say, wow, how could you have done that, you know, been so willy-nilly with so many abortions and so forth? I mean, even one abortion is one too many, but 60-plus million?
Yes, we will look back with that kind of a question, because have never learned more about the unborn child than we've learned in the last 50 years, and we've got the development, and, you know, not only with the development of ultrasound, but with ultrasound comes fetal diagnosis, therapy, and surgery. In other words, once you can see the child, you can diagnose and treat the child. So the medical textbooks, whether it's Williams Obstetrics or various textbooks on fetal therapy and surgery, talk about the baby womb as our newest patient. This is so ironic, because in this very same time frame that science has advanced so marvelously in regard to the child, it's the same time when legally we have deprived that child of protection. It is a supreme irony, and one that history will look back at with amazement.
When does life begin?
Life begins at fertilization, and when we say life begins, just to clarify for people, we're talking about the start of an individual, unique human life. So we know that, I mean, life in one sense of the term, it's a continuum, right? From when God first created human life has been in continuous existence. But you and I have not been in existence. We had a specific point of beginning. Everyone listening to us now can ask, you know, when was it decided? Any of my genetic characteristics, the color of my eyes, for example, when was that decided? It wasn't decided or determined when we were 5 years old. It wasn't even determined at birth. We know enough about genetics now to realize that at fertilization, the genetic material from our mom and combined with the genetic material from our dad, and all those genes and chromosomes began interacting with each other. And by God's decision, certain things were determined about each of us. So many genetic characteristics. And we're living in a day and age now, Jerry, as you know, where people can, you know, order through the mail or on the internet, you know, an analysis of their genetic characteristics. So, of course, we know when life begins, again, meaning the individual human life that each of us has. When did that begin? It has a very specific beginning, which is scientifically known. And I was just, you know, as I'm sure you were, amazed at the, just the other day when this nominee for the Supreme Court said, well, I don't know when life begins. A grade school biology student knows, you know, get any embryology textbook and it's there. It's a clear scientific consensus and fact.
You know, Gary Bauer was writing about that recently, that very thing where Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana asked her,
yes,
when does life begin? And Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson said, I don't know. And Gary Bauer,
yeah,
said, look, as a Harvard graduate, I'm positive she knows life begins at conception. But the position of the left is so committed to abortion that they just can't admit that. And, you know, one of the things I found very helpful as a resource is on the Mayo Clinic website.
Right.
I remember looking this up, and they just go into all the specifics of what, you know, kind of the chronology of the unborn. I just remember one little part where they said that at such and such a time, this little embryo is less or smaller than a little pencil eraser. And yet it has this, you know, and all these different characteristics that they list out. And I thought, wow, what a miracle is life, even in, you know, in the womb, of course.
There's a new website, and I've been promoting it very much, people can go on our site and see some of this. We have, as you mentioned before, that page, endabortion.us. And one of the things we have is a link to ERF, the Education Resource Fund. And the Education Resource Fund has a website, erf.science, and it has a new video of the development of the baby, and it's backed by many, many embryologists and other scientific experts. And the degree of development of the baby in the womb from those earliest stages is just astonishing. People would be just amazed. You know, the embryo talks about how just after, you know, a few weeks, the heart has already beat millions of times. It's like, wow, so many people don't even know the heart is beating at all. So yes, this is a good time. And the Supreme Court actually is looking at with fresh eyes now in the Dobbs case, looking again at all the science about the development of the baby. And in the light of that science is about to a decision that points out, is going to answer the question of whether it's constitutional to protect these babies earlier in pregnancy than the courts have allowed for the last 50 years. One of the reasons we're confident they will say yes, of course it's constitutional, is precisely what you're bringing up, that the science has become so undeniable, so clear in favor of the fact that these babies are one of us. They're human beings.
Are we winning or losing the abortion battle?
Oh, there's no doubt that we're winning. And you see that in a number of different metrics. First of all, the abortion numbers have been going down. The rate and the ratio, that's when you compare the number of abortions to, first of all, the number of childbearing women of childbearing age, I should say, and the number of abortions compared to the number of live births. All these different measurements have consistently been going down, and we are at the point now very close to what it was at the time of Roe versus Wade 50 years ago. But it's not just about the numbers. There's and also the numbers of abortionists and the numbers of abortion facilities. All of these have been. Secondly, the opinion polls have been in our direction, in our favor, on the basic question, do Americans accept our current abortion policy? They really don't. A lot of surveys say, oh, well, you know, most Americans are in favor of Roe versus Wade. That's very misleading because, first of all, you have to make sure before you take a person's answer to that question on face value whether they understand what Roe v. Wade actually said. When you explain to them what it actually said and allows abortion throughout pregnancy, you realize the American people have never accepted abortion throughout pregnancy. But they're waking up. and more people are standing up for these babies. We're winning too on the legislative and political front. We see more laws. In 2021, there were more pro-life measures passed by states than ever before. And now, of course, the Supreme Court, in the case I made reference to, is at the point where they could be about ready now to change and reverse or seriously undermine Roe v. Wade. So we are definitely winning. We are definitely making tremendous progress. And I don't think that it's even possible for the other side to turn that progress around, because you're not going to turn science around. We're not going to forget who the unborn child is. And we're not going to forget the experience of those who have had abortions. This is another big area. It's a big part of our ministry to bring healing to people who've had abortions. And their voices are getting louder and louder as well, saying abortion's not a good thing. Those voices are getting through to people, and they're realizing, you know, we made a big mistake when we allowed abortion in America.
Now, one caveat to the positive news that you just said, because I've asked this question of other leaders, pro-life leaders, and one thing they point out that is disturbing is the chemical abortions, the kind of the at-home abortions where people are getting pills and then taking it that way, and then they have the kind of the almost the self-type abortions, as was seen so dramatically in that movie Unplanned, where Abby Johnson had, an at-home type abortion, the chemical abortions. Could you address that?
You know, the chemical abortions have been increasing in terms of the proportions, the methods used of how abortions are. In my view, it does not in any way contradict our progress in this cause, because, you know, one of the reasons why the abortion industry is turning to chemical abortion is precisely because they are on the retreat. In other words, the problem is that they cannot find enough doctors to do the procedure. And so they're putting it in a sense, it's a, in one sense, it's a trend of our culture. Do it yourself. You know, you go to the grocery store now and you've got to be the one, you know, scanning the barcode onto the thing. I was doing it just the other day. I said, why do they hire those people in the counter? Aren't they supposed to be doing this? You know, and at the restaurant too, you're going to McDonald's, you know, now you've got to, you know, be pushing all those buttons and doing what they were supposed to be doing behind the counter, you know. So those are kind of funny little things, but it shows a certain trend of a do it yourself society. Okay, fine. This, of course, is much more serious, but it is a sign of the retreating taking place in the abortion industry. It's always – but personnel have always been a problem. They can't find doctors who will – you know, nurses and other practitioners who are able to deal with – I mean, when you think about it, I mean, they're tearing the arms and legs off of babies, and they're pulling them out, and they're reassembling them on the tray to make sure they got all the pieces. Yep. That is not – a pleasant activity. That's not an activity you can persevere in. So you think about it. This chemical method of doing, oh, just give somebody some drugs, you know, to take these pills at home. What does that do? It takes the burden off of the abortionist. It puts more of a burden on the mother. She ends up seeing the body parts of the baby coming out in her shower or in her toilet. My goodness. What we're seeing in the abortion healing ministry is that these people are coming to us sooner after their abortion if they do it the chemical method. Why? Because it's harder to break. It's harder to stay, actually. It's harder to stay in denial. If you go and get the surgical abortion and the abortionist is the only one that saw the baby parts, you can remain in denial for decades. If you have a chemical abortion and you saw that baby's leg or arm or face on the floor in your shower, you're going to be coming to a abortion healing counseling ministry much quicker. I think this is all backfiring on them. It's going to continue to backfire. And when a person rediscovers the sanctity of life in the womb, they reject any and all methods of killing.
Wow. Okay, we're out of time. Thank you so much for being with us, Father Frank Pavone, endabortion.us. Father Pavone, thanks again.
Thanks, Jerry.